Great to be here again this morning. I'll just give you a bit of an update on how things have been going with me. When was it? About 19 months ago, I became a counties evangelist. That was in the beginning of January 2015. And this month is when I go for... It's a bit like a transitional interview with counties just to see whether... yeah, exactly. So, I think all the different things I've done over that period of time, lots of training opportunities. I'm actually going later on this month to the Royal Welsh Show. I went as part of the training program last year, and found I got on very well with just talking to people in this big marquee tent that they set up. Not all evangelists actually feel comfortable with one-to-one conversations, believe it or not. But I actually enjoy chatting to people. And they've asked me, can I go back again this month to spend some time chatting to people. So that'd be a change from what I normally do, which is, most of you know that I go on the ships at Portbury and Avonmouth docks and talk to merchant seafarers from all around the world. And I had a little total up of the ships I've been on since the beginning of 2015, and I've visited over 800 ships. And every one of those ships, I'm trying to engage with seafarers from... And I've also counted up over 50 nations that I've met on these ships. So I'm chatting to them. I'm helping them in a practical way. I want to share with them the good news of the gospel. And I'm leaving with them gospel booklets, Bibles, Christian DVDs with a gospel message. So they're going out right the way across the world. That good news of Jesus Christ. And it's a privilege for me to actually be able to chat with these guys. Many times I'm actually helping them in a practical way. One of the things that I often find myself doing is helping them with their phones. So I've become a bit of a mobile phone expert. I didn't like sorting these things out in the beginning because I just want to share the gospel. But then I realize that God wants me to kind of build bridges with these guys, show them that God is a God of love. He's a practical God who wants to bless them and help them, and obviously to share the gospel. So when I go on a ship, the most kind of important thing that these seafarers want is phone cards. And not phone cards just for phone calls, but more so for internet connections. So when I go on a ship, I get inundated by a whole gang of guys who want phone cards. So I got all sorts of phone cards in my bag, and I get them topped up. All right, so they got a credit, and then I got to get them on a data plan. So I have to do that, and then to get them on a data plan, I've got to change their settings on their phone. And, you know, here I am with a whole gang of guys, and, you know, I'm like a teenager on a mobile phone, you know, and just go click, you know, sorting these guys out. But then you hear this little ping as they're connected, and there's big smiles, and they're immediately contacting their families. So I'm doing all of these kind of things. Obviously, because I want to help them, I want to bless and encourage them, but it also provides a way for me to sit and to chat with them. And I had a lovely conversation on Friday with three Filipinos, you know, in the mess room, sat down, having a coffee, and as I'm sorting out all these things, we begin to talk. And at least one of the guys was a Christian. And the other two, I'm not too sure. But, you know, it's wonderful just to be able to remind them again the significance of Christ. You know, that our hope is in him. Because these guys have quite a tough time. One of the guys I've met has been 14 months at sea You know, normally on a 9-month contract, most of them, but this goes 14 months away from your family in order to provide for their loved ones. And so they get very isolated. They're under a lot of pressure. Their pay isn't that great. And, you know, there's nobody really to talk to. And so when I come along and I begin to engage with them and I begin to share with them, and normally what happens is if these guys are under a lot of pressure, all that kind of anxiety and fears start to come out. And many seafarers that I've talked to over the years since I've been doing this work begin to weep because of, you know, that kind of anxiety. I had a young Italian guy stood at the doorway of the Seafarer Centre when I turned up one morning early before the centre is open. And I said to him, you know, the place is going to be shut till 1 o'clock. He said, I'm desperate for phone cards. I said, all right, come in, but don't tell anybody else. And locked the door. And we went into the centre and we sat down. And I began to help him out with these phone cards. And as we were just sharing, he just opened up and said that he'd been 6 years looking for a job, and suddenly he gets a job on the ship. It was a car carrier. And he thought, oh, this is fantastic. You know, I'm going to be traveling the world. It's going to be great. And he said it's further from the truth. It's really difficult. The officers are always putting me down and telling me I'm rubbish and no good. And they pay me 8 hours a day, but they're making me work 12 every day. He said, I suffer from asthma, and they put me in places on the ships where there are a lot of fumes. And when I complain, they don't care. They tell me to get on with it. And he's just relaying all these things that are going on. And he said, so at night when I go into my cabin, I just weep. I just cry because my life is terrible and I'm so unhappy. So it was an opportunity to say to him, look, well, I care. I care about you. And you know, I'm here to help you. But I said, more importantly than that, God cares about you. And I said, it's no accident that you and I have met up today. And I began to kind of minister to him and to encourage him. And I always, wherever possible, pray for seafarers. I didn't used to do that. I'm one of these people who used to say, I'll pray for you, and then kind of leave it at that, and I'll pray for them later on. But now I, you know, seize the opportunity. And so I put a hand on his shoulder, and I just prayed for him. And like many others, he began to weep because God showed up and showed him that he loves him and he cares for him, and he knew exactly what was going on in his life. And I have many, many stories like this. So it's a wonderful opportunity. God cares about everyone. And, you know, maybe the merchant seafarers that come into Portbury and Avonmouth docks, you've never even thought about them. And the fact that about 90% of the goods that come into this country come in by sea. But God knows everyone, you know, and it's lovely that God provides. Like even now, a couple into this community, you know, to reach out for those who may feel that nobody cares and nobody knows that they even exist. God knows, and he sends people out to share that good news and to share his love. So continue to pray for the work on the ships. Particularly, I would ask that you would pray that God would break through. You know, I'm just an instrument. I'm just a mouthpiece, a set of hands for God, but my prayer is that through the power of the Holy Spirit, God would break through in the lives of these guys that I meet. Quite a few of them are quite religious, but they wouldn't necessarily know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. So, I just want God to break through and to reach these people wherever they're at. So as they go back to their homes, maybe in months, and 9 months' time, they would also take back that personal knowledge of Jesus Christ in their lives. So continue to pray for that. I'll just say one other thing. I remember I was on a ship recently, and I'm in the mess room, and I'm sharing with these guys, and more guys are coming into the mess room. So I was like, this is good. So I'm really sharing the gospel and the love of God, and more are coming in. And the captain, he's in there, and some of the officers, and we ended up in this mess room. It's packed out. And I thought to myself, I must be getting really good at this. You know, there they are, they're all coming, the word's out, and everybody's in here. And I noticed a guy coming in. He looked British, something about him looked British. And he's kind of making his way along the side of the room. And he ends up next to me, you see. And there's a pause in my great sort of, description of Christ in that. And he leans down towards me and he said, have you finished talking? And I said, well, yeah, why? He said, everybody's waiting to do a fire drill. It's a nice piece of humble pie for me. But there you go. Now, time's marching on. So I'm going to share from Exodus chapter 13 and verse 17. We'll just read from it and then I'll just commit this time to the Lord in prayer. Exodus 13 and verse 17. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road towards the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt armed for battle. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him because Joseph had made the sons of Israel swear an oath. He had said, God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up with you from this place. After leaving Succoth, they camped at Etham on the edge of the desert. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. Lord, we just ask now that you would speak to us. Lord God, encourage us again, Father God. May we leave this building later knowing that we have met with you, and that we would have a strong desire to follow you, Jesus. Encourage us, Lord. Build us up in your name. Amen. The British novelist Charles Kingsley rightly said, there are two freedoms, the false, where a man is free to do what he likes, and the true, where a man is free to do what he ought. All right, two freedoms, where we can do what we like or we can do what we ought. And as Christians, God is calling us to that freedom where we choose to follow him. And it is a freedom. Throughout their history, the nation of Israel has struggled with both of these freedoms, just as we struggle today, because we are sat here exercising that freedom to come together in fellowship, to worship him, and to hear his word. Or we could have woken up this morning and thought, you know what, I'm just going to stay in bed. You know, I'm just going to do what I want to do. And, you know, we live in a community where people are exercising that freedom. Israel's exodus experience taught them that their future success lay fulfilling three important responsibilities. One, following the Lord, and then trusting the Lord and praising the Lord. Today, I just want us to look at following the Lord, our success in following him. When Israel came out of Egypt, it wasn't the end of their experience with God. It was a new beginning, a brand new beginning, the start of an amazing journey which God used to change his people. There's that well-known saying, it took one day to get Israel out of Egypt, and it took 40 years then to get Egypt out of Israel. You know, those years in captivity, in that slavery, God then had to take 40 years to change the people to be more like a people that he had called them to be. And it's the same with us. In an instant, you know, we give our lives to Jesus. We pray a prayer of faith. We receive Christ into our lives. But then it takes the rest of our lives for God to change us every day. I think too many, and I'm sure I probably felt the same when I was younger, you know, you make that commitment and you think, wow, you know, is that it? You know, is everything done and dusted? No, because God has just started you on an amazing journey. As a child, I made a commitment to Jesus Christ. I received Christ into my life after watching a film. I don't know, for the older generation here, remember the film Thief in the Night? It was really, it's a film about how Christ has come back and he's taken all those believers with him. And then there's everybody else left behind, you see, on this world. And it frightened the life out of me, scared me to death. And I must have gave my life to the Lord hundreds of times because I was afraid that maybe I wasn't a Christian. And I thought, this is it. This is all there was. And then over the years, I realized that God had just started me on a journey. And now I look back over many years and seeing how God has been molding me and shaping me. And through those really tough times as well, how God has been changing me and continues to change me. When God brought the Israelites out of Egypt, he didn't just say, wherever you are, you're out now, off you go. He actually put them on a path to follow. In verse 17, it says, when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. And he goes on into verse 18, so God led the people around the desert road towards the Red Sea. Goshen, Egypt, to Canaan. I've been told, I've read a few different suggestions on this, but it is said Goshen to Canaan could take 11 days to get there from A to B. And yet God took the people round on the desert road, which took them on a 40-year journey. It must have been frustrating for those who, you know, they got their maps out, you know, where are we going? We're going to Canaan. Right, that's just up there. And then Moses suddenly takes them on this long, long journey. And you can imagine the frustration. Why are we going this way? You know, it's up there. I can almost see it, you know, and off they go. And the same for us in our lives. I'm sure for many of us, really, at times we've questioned God. Don't you know what you're doing? I remember some years ago, I ended up being made redundant from a job that I was in. Now, I really enjoyed the job. And in order to sort of keep providing for my family, I ended up doing lorry driving, in this big lorry. And I only did it for 6 months. But at the time, I thought, this is it. This is my job. And I was so unhappy doing it. You know, I was getting lost all the time. And nobody would help you, you know, if you were sort of reversing down a road. You know, people would just watch to see if you plow into things, you know. And I was very unhappy of being on my own. I'm a people's person. I like being with people. And here I am on my own. And I remember, you know, on many a morning driving into Avonmouth, where the lorry depot was, praying that God would bless me and help me and be with me. And then I'd end up having an awful day. You know, everything would go wrong, you know, the wheels would fall off the lorry. And no, it didn't quite like that, but it'd all go wrong. And I'd be driving back home at the end of the day saying to God, what bit of my prayer didn't you understand? You know, I was looking for a day of blessing and encouragement, and it was really difficult. And You know, crying out to God for his help. I didn't realize that God knew what he was doing. Not at that time, not in that dark place. I was really struggling. The Israelites didn't realize that God knew exactly what he was doing, that the road to Canaan from Goshen had Egyptian fortresses on it. And if the Israelites had gone along that road, they more than likely would have been defeated in battle. And they might have ended up thinking, you know, let's run. Let's go back to Egypt, because at least we weren't dealing with combat and, you know, and potentially getting killed. You know, God knew all of this. He knew what was ahead of them. He knew the struggles that they potentially that they would have walked into. And it's the same for me in my life. I had no idea. I thought, God, you know, this is not, let me give you some advice, God. This is not a good place for me to be. Don't you know what you're doing? And yet, from that place, driving those lorries, God ultimately brought me to being in full-time ministry on the ships as an evangelist. You know, there was a series of steps that started, because at that point, I wasn't going on the ships at all. But as I cried out to God, God already had it in hand, that this is the road I'm going to take you on. And, you know, just trust in me and I will get you there. And we need to remind ourselves that God knows what he's doing. And I don't know really what's going on in anybody's lives here today, but God knows what he's doing. If you've given your life to him, he's set you on a pathway and he is leading you on the road that he wants you to go on. As long as you follow him, you're in a good place. You're in a good place and in a place of blessing. So I daily, if possible, just commit my life to Christ. I want to be on his pathway. He knows what's ahead. I don't. Lord, I give my life to you again. And on that pathway that God has mapped out for us, we will find encouragement. That's a good thing. And also the fact that he is leading us. So there's just a couple of things I want us to quickly look at. Firstly, God encourages people's faith. He encourages us in our faith. Joseph made his brothers promise that when, not if, God delivered Israel from Egypt, their descendants would take his coffin to the promised land. So what did that coffin mean to the generation of Jews who were living in those terrible years in bondage? Well, they saw that God helped Joseph through his trials and then ultimately deliver him from those trials. So that kind of coffin, as it's been carried in that great procession of people, as the people looked at that coffin, it was a constant reminder that God is faithful and that God is able to deliver people from those awful things that we find ourselves in. Even when Joseph was dead, he was still bearing witness to the faithfulness of God. Now, even in our lives, there are many people or things around us which are a constant reminder to us of God's faithfulness. You may look to people in this church and think, you know, I can see how God is blessed them in their journey. And that brings you encouragement. I know my own father, who's getting on a bit now, when I look at his life, I can see how God is being faithful to him, even through some very difficult situations. And it brings me encouragement. In January this year, there was a 60-year anniversary of the death of Jim Elliot. Do you remember the guy who went in the 50s? He went to minister, to bring the gospel to the Ecuador Indians. Just a group, I think it was about five of them. And they were all killed. And his wife wrote a book, In the Shadow of the Almighty, I think it was called. And I remember as a young man being touched by that, you know, that young man who gave his life completely to God. You know, God had called him and he went out. He said, like Isaiah, here I am, send me. And he went out to a foreign land and he ultimately lost his life. Later on, many of those Indians became Christians. You know, and I just look at that life, even though it was very short-lived, it's a blessing to me and it encourages me. And we need to keep our eyes on those people or things that provide encouragement, particularly if you're going through, you know, a bit of a difficult time. Just look at how God has shown himself to be faithful to many people down through the years. So not only does God encourage his people, he don't just say, off you go, and I'll see you at the other end. You know, God goes with us, and he encourages us. But God also goes before his people to lead the way. A pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. When the cloud moved, the Israelite camp moved. When the cloud waited, the camp waited. And we don't have that visible guidance today. Sometimes it'd be nice to just have a cloud in front of us. Oh, that's the way. We don't have that. But what we do have is the word of God. It's the word of God. In Psalm 119 and verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And then in Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 29, is not my word like fire, declares the Lord. Now, God's word not only guides us through each day, but also those periods in our life which are very dark. And I just thought, you know, that pillar of fire, you know, would have actually stood out in that darkness very clearly. And even in those dark times of our lives when things are real struggle and we just wonder where we are and where is God leading us, if we look to his word, it actually illuminates the way. It guides us. There are many wonderful promises in this Bible. So it's important, if we want to know which direction to go in, is to pick up this Bible and to begin to read it and allow God to show us the way. Though there may be an army behind us and an ocean in front, the Lord Almighty is our ever-present help. Said in verse 22, neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of God's people. I think of anything that I said this morning is to remember that God never leaves his place in front of the people. We are not on our own just trying to make our way through life, stumbling along. God is in front of us. I have taken an opportunity a number of times recently with people who have been very worried about where this country's going. You know, whether you voted in or you voted out, with the referendum. If you belong to Christ, God is leading the way. We look to him. We might be a little bit unsure where people are leading us, but God knows exactly what he's doing. And even in these uncertain times, we can put our confidence in him. He has a pathway laid out for us, and we are able to just keep our eyes on him, and he will lead us the way forward. And in that pathway, there would be that encouragement. God knows exactly what we need, and he has not left us just to get on with it on our own. As I was just thinking about God leading, an old, very old hymn popped into my mind. Now, I haven't sung this. I'm not going to sing it now. But I haven't sung this hymn for years. But I just want to read it out, and it might stir the hearts of some, certainly the older ones. But let me just read it out. Down in the valley with my Saviour I will go, where the flowers are blooming and the sweet waters flow. Everywhere he leads me, I will follow on. walking in his footsteps till the crown be won. Follow, follow, I will follow Jesus anywhere, everywhere, I will follow on. Follow, follow, I will follow Jesus everywhere he leads me, I will follow on. Down in the valley with my Saviour I will go, where the storms are sweeping and the dark waters flow. With his hand to lead me, I will never, never fear. Danger cannot fright me if my Lord is near. Follow, follow, I will follow Jesus. Anywhere, everywhere, I will follow on. Follow, follow, I will follow Jesus. Everywhere he leads me, I will follow on. Down in the valley or upon the mountain steep, close behind my Saviour will my soul ever keep. He will lead me safely in the path that he has trod, up to where they gather on the hills of God. Follow, follow, I will follow Jesus. Anywhere, everywhere, I will follow on. Follow, follow, I will follow Jesus. Everywhere he leads me, I will follow on. My prayer is today that each and every one of us today would decide to follow Jesus. In an uncertain time, in an uncertain country, there is somebody that we can be certain in, and that's Jesus Christ. He knows exactly what he's doing. He can see what is ahead, those pitfalls, and he can guide us on the pathway that is best for each and every one of us. I find that to be excellent news, good news, you know. And you can, for those of you who know Jesus, you can encourage other people as well, where people are saying, oh, I don't know where we're going, I don't know what's going to happen. We can put our trust in Jesus. When Isaiah was in a similar situation, and everything was unraveling around him, and when King Uzziah died and they'd lost good leadership, and that everything seemed to be kind of falling apart, he had a vision of God seated on the throne, ruling and reigning. And though what was going on around seemed to be falling apart, God was in control. And what did it do to Isaiah? It empowered him. Because he ultimately said, here I am, use me. Because he knew as long as God was in control, everything was going to work out. God is in the driving seat. And that's the same today. Now, you're either living in the good of it or you're not. You know, we can exercise that free will. And I'm encouraging you again today to choose to put your trust in Jesus. In my life, it made a big difference. And it continues to make a big difference. I have a confidence in him. And I want to encourage you today to have that same confidence. For those Israelites, yes, it took 40 years to get to that promised land, but God got them there. They were a changed people. He had molded them and shaped them, and ultimately they got to that promised land. And when we give our lives to Jesus, it's the start of an amazing and fantastic journey where he promises to encourage us and he promises to lead the way. He goes before us. That's encouraging for each and every one of us. So make that decision today. If you don't know Jesus, then put your trust in him. Receive him in your life today. And if you do know Jesus, but you need that encouragement, then be encouraged. God is in control. And he will take you on that pathway. Let me close in prayer. Father God, we just thank you that you know what you're doing. Because I certainly don't. And I just pray, Lord God, that you would encourage us today. Help us to put our trust in you. Lord, help us to see that you are in the driving seat. That you know exactly what is ahead of us, Lord God. And you can lead us on the right path, on a good pathway. And Lord God, I pray that today, many of us, if not all of us, would choose to trust in you, Lord God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In your precious name, amen.